Intervju Radija Študent.
Tom Russell, alias Truss, producira že skoraj da eno desetletje in trenutno velja za enega najbolj zanimivih tehnoproducentov zadnjih let. Začenši skromno na založbi Perk Tracks s pseudonimom Truss, je lani presenetil stranskim projektom MPIA3, ki je surovo hardware ACID interpretacijo tehna doživela občudovanje z vseh koncev, Russella pa zakoličila kot enega vodilnih ustvarjalcev britanskega tehnopreporoda. Pred njegovim nocojšnjim nastopom na večeru Elements v F-klubu v Ljubljani smo ga ujeli na telefonski liniji, da bi izbrskali kaj več o njegovi rave in hardcore preteklosti, o njegovom mlajšem bratu Teseli in njegovih novih kompozicijah.
Listeners of Radio Student, we have a special producer here, one of the most extraordinary techno producers of the last years, Tom Russell, aka Truss, also known as MPIA3. With us on Radio Student 89.3 megahertz. Hi, Tom.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks. Very well.
You've seen quite a lot of success in the last 2 years with your MPIA3 project and also Truss.
Yeah.
Can you tell us something about how you got started with production in general?
I can't really remember. I mean, I started messing about with a computer when I was about, I don't know, in my teens. I had a free piece of software called Dance DJ. I think that came free with a pack of cereal, and that was my first introduction to music production. But I've been involved in music for years and years, most classical music because of my dad. He's a classical musician. But my first sort of foray into music production, yeah, was messing around with a very basic piece of software on a computer when I was in my teens.
Which artists did you look up to? Which artists shaped your musical taste? You've talked a lot about UK hardcore and techno.
Yeah, that was huge for me. I mean, when I grew up, my first sort of introduction to electronic music was really kind of rave music, which was predominantly UK hardcore and some sort of harder strains of techno. So it was mostly DJs really that influenced me at the time. I wasn't really aware about any artists. But DJs like DJ Druid and Easy Groove and Carl Cox and Tanith and Producer, all those people, you know, were huge influences on me. And I guess all the records that they played have really had a big impact on my productions now. So, yeah, basically, yeah, it was just it was listening to all these tapes and stuff. And it's only now I'm really beginning to find out who some of the artists were that produced the records. At the time, you know, I was only aware of the DJ.
Did you ever get sucked into jungle or that kind of stuff?
No, so jungle is a genre that's pretty much passed me by. For some reason, where I was living in particular, people weren't really into it. Not many people I knew were into jungle. But looking back, I mean, I was listening to stuff that, you know, was early hardcore that I guess at a time where it was morphing into jungle. I mean, I had a few tapes from people like Fabio and the stuff that they were playing. And also Easy Groove. I mean, there's a whole sort of genre of I think it was called jungle techno. Mm-hmm. And it was very sort of early junglist sort of stuff where they were pushing that breakbeat sort of sound into new territories. And I guess so I was listening to that sort of stuff, but I wasn't really aware of it being called jungle at the time.
So techno was the main genre that shaped your musical taste and also inspired you to start producing, right?
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah, definitely.
What would you say about the state of techno after the 90s, after 2000 in Great Britain?
Pretty bad. Techno was great throughout the 90s, then as soon as it sort of turned into the noughties, I guess the harder sort of strains of techno petered out a little bit, and you know, you had lots of loopy sort of stuff, and I guess the creativity just sort of went, and it was replaced by a popularity in the sort of more minimal sound, which was kind of cool for a little bit, because it was just something that was different, and there were some interesting records like Akufin and people doing some stuff which I wasn't really aware of before. But then it kind of quickly got to a point where I just didn't find much of it very interesting, and there wasn't really a scene for the the slightly harder edge sounds, and that was the sort of case for quite a few years. It's only in the past sort of 3 or 4 years that it started to creep back, and there's quite a healthy scene developing there.
It is also the time around 2006 when you released your first production. How did that come to being?
I was kind of, I'd been meaning to sort of start writing some techno music and, you know, getting serious with it as opposed to just messing about, you know, which I'd been doing for years and years. And it was just a thing that I saw online, or a friend told me about, which is kind of an opportunity to remix a track just for a net label, and that track was Broken Concept by Donor, and I remixed it and he really liked it. And after that, we ended up working quite a lot together, and you know, that my first few records were in collaboration with Donor.
At that time, it seems to me that most of the producers in techno looked up to Berghain or Berlin as the center of this rough, hard-edged techno for inspiration. But in the last few years, there's been quite a lot of British producers, such as yourself also, that have been finding their own voice. What has happened between your first release and now, that in the scene or in general in British techno, that led to this situation?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people here were really excited by the whole Berghain kind of phenomenon. It sort of helped bring back an older, kind of more classic sound of techno, and then therefore a slightly harder sound of techno. And then I think that enabled, inspired quite a few people, myself included, in the UK to start taking our music slightly harder. And I think, you know, the UK has always been a place where we don't necessarily like to directly copy music. We often sort of try and put our own stamp on it. I guess we're quite sort of, being an island maybe has something to do with it. We have a more insular sort of scene here. And, you know, there's quite a sort of close-knit community of people. And I guess, I'm not really sure why we started going down this hard route, but it seemed to be that when I started my MPI3 project at the same time, people like A&D and Blauan and Perk were also experimenting with these sorts of sounds, and that's, you know, kind of been backed up then by a lot of other people that have also been sort of going down that route, yeah.
2012 has been a breakthrough year for your project, MPI A3. But you decided to retire that project.
Yeah.
Why?
I guess I'd never really intended it to go as far as it did. When I started making some just really basic acid tracks, I didn't even think that anyone else would like them. But I played them out, and they seemed to go down all right. And then, before I know it, you know, quite a few people are playing them, and the project really sort of gained popularity. And it was brilliant, but it was kind of a project that had a very finite amount of potential. It's just a 303 and a drum machine, really. And I made lots and lots of tracks using just that combination, and I didn't really see much scope for it to develop very much without it sort of losing something that made it what it was in the first place. And so with that in mind, I thought that, you know, it was good to just draw a line under the project, maybe while the going was strong. I also didn't really want to carry it on and it get to a point where I was just churning out the same track time and time again and people would just end up getting bored of it. I didn't really want that to happen. I wanted to sort of duck out while people were still into the sound and maybe move on to another project, which is still taking some elements of that and what I learnt by doing those tracks. You know, much more kind of rough and ready, one take sort of approach to making music, but then use that in more maybe more creative ways, basically a music which has more potential to morph into different directions.
When you started producing, what did you use, if it's not a secret?
I mean, that's just a 303, a Roland TB303, Vimona DRM drum machine, a Lexicon PCM80 for some reverb, and a hardware compressor all running through a Mackie mixing desk, and that's pretty much it.
For your further projects, such as Truss and maybe others, you intend to spread out these components, so you won't be using the same combination all over again?
No, I mean, the MPI-3 thing is a very, very purist sound, super stylized, and, you know, I'm going to take elements of the production techniques which I used, but then employ them in other ways. You know, I want to start focusing more on my Truss productions again, which I think will be slightly more musical than MPI-3. But then I'm also doing collaborations. For instance, I've got a collaboration with Perk. We're doing some more tracks together. We released an EP earlier on this year, and also my collaboration with my brother Tesla as TRER, and we released one track last year, and we've been working on loads of material this year. We hopefully have an EP out early next year. And so basically just taking lots of these production techniques which I'm learning and employing them in new ways.
When collaborating, do you share the same workspace?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. With Perk, it has been absolutely. That is being Ali coming over to my studio, and we just jam for a couple of hours and try and get a track done as quickly as possible. And it's quite a fun way of working. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but you know, it's a very spontaneous sort of thing. With my brother, it's quite a similar sort of thing, although we also do send things back and forth online. But because we're doing a live set now, when we're preparing lots of these tracks for the live set, it'll often be the case that we'll put something together especially for the live set, and we'll try it out, we'll see that it works, and we see there's potential there. So it's kind of a different way of composing, because we're already trying these elements out, and then we take the elements that we think work best, and then we try and make them into a track. But then there's other collaborations, like my collaboration with Donor, which we were never in the studio together because, you know, he lives in Brooklyn and I live in London, so mm-hmm. It just wasn't possible.
You talked about your brother, Tesla, Ed.
Yeah.
Is he your younger brother, right?
Yeah, he's my younger brother, yeah. He's 10 years younger than me.
I find it interesting that he took a very broken beat route to your own, even though you're brothers.
Yeah.
How come?
I don't know really. I think Ed was definitely into jungle and drum and bass when he was growing up, so I think that's more of an influence on him than techno is. Mm-hmm. But then he's really kind of got into quite a bit of techno, I think, through my records and stuff that I've been playing. So he's kind of gone down a very much a hybrid sort of thing with his productions. But yeah, you know, I was mostly listening to techno when I was growing up. He was mostly listening to jungle and drum and bass, so I guess that's the difference.
We were talking about artists that you listened to in the past. Which artists do you listen to now when you're at home, for example?
When I'm at home?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I don't really get a huge amount of time to listen to music because I'm making music all day and then DJing on the weekends. And so, I mean, stuff I like to listen to outside of the sort of the techno world would be, you know, bands like the Pixies and stuff like that. But artists within techno that I find inspiring, there's tons. But I mean, in the past few years in particular, people like Blauwan, Perk, A&D.
Tell us something about your performance in Ljubljana. What do you intend to do?
I don't really know, to be honest with you. I approach each DJ gig differently. You know, I try and pack at least twice as many records as I need, because I like to try and go with the flow wherever it, you know, whatever I think is suitable when I'm at the venue, you know, depending on the size of the venue and how busy it is and how the crowd responds to various things, you know, I'll kind of try and get an idea of, you know, what's going to work. So I never really plan anything. I just try and take a lot of music with me.
Any last messages for the listeners of Radio Student?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to my first time in Slovenia. I remember lots of good techno coming out of Slovenia back in the sort of late 90s. And so I know there's always been quite a big scene there, so I'm very looking forward to visiting.
Tom, thank you very much.
Cool, thanks very much. Cheers. Okay.
Rš intervju s Trasom je pripravil Dino Lalić.
Interview Radia Student.